Welcome to the Fair Parenting Podcast, where we cover people's stories, ideas, and the progress towards fair parenting.
Welcome to the podcast. Last episode was part one of the update on my case. Today is part two, and we'll pick it up just where we left off last time. Thanks again to Brent Bowlby for doing the interview. He did a really great job. So here we go, part two of the update on my story.
And I've been following your story, and I've read some things in posts that are pinned, let's say over the last 3 or 4 months, that at this point, the other side's sort of gone criminal, breaking and entering, yeah. Intimidation, illegal eviction, theft of goods. Yeah. I think I heard you say the high court judge said he didn't allow this.
Yeah.
What happened, and how did you find out about these crimes that was being perpetrated?
Well, okay. So the other parent walked away in January or February 24. February 24, we have the committal hearing. I offer to come back in March if we sign our agreement. She says no. She wants me jailed instead of me coming back. She wants me jailed. So I've got that prison sentence outstanding. Then we find out that she's cancelled in May 24. She's cancelled the child's passport. No sign of a court order doing that, and it's supposed to not be allowed that you can just cancel a child's passport, but she did it. I raised that with the court. They didn't care.
Let's stop right there, though. Sorry for the interruption. You're living abroad and she cancels your child's passport, how do you bring your child back to presumably the UK if you don't have a passport for your child? I mean,
she doesn't.
That seems counterintuitive to me.
Well, no. What they want us to do, because they cancelled my passport in September 24 in an ex parte hearing. They didn't tell me, and I didn't learn about it until November 24. But what they want us to do is not to be able to move now, which puts me in fear, because this Irish man and any lunatic she wants to find, or any lunatic that's she broke the court order by publishing the story in media worldwide. So she's got a toxic friend who's made online allegations about me, and you can I believe this, the Irishman, was attracted by seeing the news stories that broke the court order. You know, court orders on publicity are there to protect the child. And what she did was she broke the court order. The court didn't care. And I feel that this has attracted a couple of nutcases to the mother and put me and my child in danger potentially. If you've seen the picture of this guy on my Twitter account, he's surrounded by gun-toting soldiers. And he's ex-special forces in the USA himself, and he's got a Canadian assault judgment against him as well. And he actually fraudulently claimed to be the honorary consul to the Ukraine in Ireland. And there's a news story, you can Google it, where the Ukraine came out and said, no, he's not. He opened up some sort of fundraising company in his capacity as the honorary consul, and he then had to close that down. It's all in the newspapers. You can Google it. I'm not making it up.
Absolutely. But so let's stop there for just a second, if you don't mind, because this is important. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, my life's been threatened, or, make accusations that are hard to back up. But this sounds like a pretty violent thug, an ex-USA Special Forces guy that was hired by your co-parent, who's already threatened you.
Yeah.
This guy has a shady past in Canada and Ukraine, as you mentioned, calling him out. But I think that's interesting here is, when did he show up in your life?
Yeah.
How did your ex, I wouldn't even know how to hire, someone
well,
to...
He-
take after someone. So, but I mean, how did those things happen, and how did that threat change everything for you?
Well, it just is so crazy. It is almost comical, except it's not, because it's real. But this guy, I made a website about this guy because the story became so incredible. I became fearful for my life. I said, I've got to get this up on the internet in case anything happens to me. They then took out a court order to take down the website. I had it hosted with GoDaddy, and they got a high court order to GoDaddy take it down. So they're trying to cover up, you know, and I, on that website, I had newspaper links. It wasn't, you know, it was factual stuff that it was, it showed the Canadian assault judgment, and they're trying to cover it up. Now, he also broke the publicity order by going on Irish TV. He's based in Ireland. He went on Irish TV with the mother to run a story about me. Now, so just to get the chronology, I got the prison sentence in February 24. At that stage, I'd offered to come back in March, but she wasn't interested. Passports cancelled in my daughter's passport in May, mine in September. But throughout that, you could say, well, what happened between March and September? Well, we had regular court hearings, and I was going back saying, please can we go to mediation again, or please can the court write an order based on what we agreed in mediation? I'm not trying to alienate. I want to come back if it's safe. And so that went on, and even the judge said, we're going around in circles. Bearing in mind the mother's got legal aid for this, so it's the taxpayers pouring tons and tons of money into this, and I'm not allowed to have legal advice because my bank accounts are frozen. I keep raising this, and nobody cares within the court. So that rumble, that wastes 6 months. And then around about, I write to the court in July saying I'm in fear of mine and my child's safety. Can I have an emergency hearing? And because around that time, the mother and her solicitor say that I will be arrested 8 a.m. on a Monday morning if I don't go to the police station or don't make arrangements to come back with them. And by chance, I didn't get that message until about 10 a.m. on the Monday morning, and the police hadn't, it was an idle threat. But it worried me a lot, and I think I'd already been, she's called the local police at that stage, I think, and we'd already been to the police station, I think. I'd have to check the chronology there, but certainly in August 2024, we had to go to the police station two times, and they wanted to see my child to do a welfare check, similar to what, you know, had happened before. And I sat down with the police. It was a police lady. And she talked to me for about an hour and a half. And I had a lawyer locally at that point. I'd, you know, scraped together some funds for that. And the lawyer was helpful. But he wasn't allowed to talk to the policewoman. Basically, the policewoman said, I want to talk to him on his own. And I talked to her about an hour and a half, and she was very understanding in my view. And she said, look, if you have any more questions or any more worries, contact me. She gave me some advice about the case, which I won't go into. She evaluated my child. She took her off into a room on her own, chatting to her, and she was perfectly happy. But again, that's not good for a child to be dragged into another police station, but the mother doesn't care. And so all of this was going on, threats of police, threats of arrest. And I asked for an emergency court hearing because I was worried for my safety. She'd run some other news stories. The first news story was October 23, and she'd run them two or three times since then. And obviously we didn't have passports, so if a lunatic came after us, we'd be sitting ducks. So I asked the High Court judge in England if we could have an emergency hearing. No, just ignored that. So I was very worried. And then around about September time, I think, this Irish guy came on the scene. And the mother said, look, because I constantly bang the drum for mediation for the whole of the 6 years from when she started breaking court orders and stopping me. I said, look, let's just go to mediation and sort this out. The courts in England recommend that you do that, but she just didn't want to. I think we had one mediation session after about 2 or 3 years into the case in England, and that was it. And then she refused to go again. So I would consistently throughout 2024 and 2023 said, let's go to mediation. And so Reunite are the sort of leaders in international cases as mediators. That's who we'd used up to that point. But for whatever reason, the mother didn't want to know them anymore. And she said, I found this guy who I'd never heard of, and he was an Irish guy, so he wasn't even in the jurisdiction. And she said, he's far more experienced than the Reunite people, and I will not use anyone else, and you must pay him £1,000 for him to mediate. One session, I think it was. Now, I did some check-in on him, not as much as a friend did. A friend really was the one who brought all this to light about his history and found that he'd been on the telly being biased against, very biased against me, whereas a mediator is obviously supposed to be neutral. And then he wrote a threatening email to me, basically saying that something nasty would happen if I didn't resolve things very quickly. I mean, I posted that email on the website that I built, but obviously they didn't want the public to see that, and they got GoDaddy to take it down. I mean, throughout, I'm open to having everything to do with the last 6 years online for people to see it, but the mother doesn't want that. She wants everything secret, everything hidden. Except when she runs a story with a few sound bites that, you know, anyone can make a few sound bites and that don't go challenged. But so this guy appeared on the scene, I think September, October time, and I did some research, and a friend did more, and he just was totally unsuitable. I don't even think he's got a mediation website. But he doesn't have a mediation qualification. He sets himself up. He runs an ice cream shop in Ireland. He sets himself up as some sort of international expert on various different areas. He also operates in Florida out of a mailing company doing, I think it's attestation services. He's licensed in Florida to do that. And he puts himself forward as some sort of mediation expert in international cases, in newspapers, on TV. He seems sort of very media hungry, trying to carve out a niche, I would say, but without very much in the way of qualifications. A friend has done a lot of research on him, and they did a lot of research and found the Canadian judgment and the Ukraine story, etc. So I went back to the mother and I said, this guy obviously isn't suitable. Can we use Reunite again? Because they know us. We've worked with them. We got somewhere with them. And she just didn't want to know. So mediation floundered there again. Now, between November 23 and November 24, she agreed what we had got to with Reunite three times and backed out each time. We then went back to, she finally went back to Reunite in late 24. around about November time, and she became a bit more chatty, which is rare for her, on the Talking Parents app, and we sort of batted some ideas about, and we said let's try and resolve this, and I wrote down a sketch of what I wanted to talk about, and I didn't email it to her. But then just before we were going to talk to Reunite, she emailed basically what I would call a list of demands. And they were very, very draconian, a huge backward step, and not the safety I was looking for. They were basically, I mean, at this stage, she had no bank accounts, no passports, no house. And it seemed to me that progressively from October 23 to November 24, she was saying, you do what I say, or you're not going to get your house. You're stuck where you are. You're never going to be able to go anywhere else. We're going to come after you. I've got this Irish guy. I'm going to come after you in the courts there. You know, basically trying to make me scared, which she'd done a good job of for 6 years. So rather than things de-escalating and the safeguards we mediated being implemented in November 23, we spent a year where she got me a prison sentence, went after my house, got this Irish guy, basically became more and more demanding and draconian. And to go back to the point you raised earlier, you think, well, why would you throw away a year of parenting to do this to the other parent? He's saying he wants to come back and parent, and instead you're attacking him. So then we got to December 24. And she put an application to take the house. And
okay, so let's just stop there for just a minute. First of all, that's so heavy. I can't imagine facing all of that. Yeah. I mean, my own fight has been tough, but your story really hits hard. And I just wanted to pause and just reflect on that for a moment. You know, you've been trying hard to, you know, bring back your child. I appreciate that you just brought up, you know, the last, you know, interaction you had, showing that, you know, you've been trying, and instead what she's been doing, is essentially trying to imprison you is what it sounds like, rather than work with you in good faith. And, you know, I don't know if a strong enough point was put on it in the first place. Forgive me if this is redundant. What was the return date from your overseas vacation with your child that you missed and you haven't gone back since? What was that date? It was 18 months ago, approximately. I mean, you don't have to give me the
exact date. Early August, I think, or I think early to mid-August, yeah.
All right, and so you didn't return because you obviously were having issues of wanting to protect your daughter. You had safety concerns, serious safety concerns. It seems borne out now that as you progress along your life story, in a sense, as it pertains to this matter, you know, the allegations of you saying, this doesn't feel right, I'm fearful to return with my child, only to find out that, as a matter of fact, you had every right to feel that way, because later on, you can now prove your ex not only refused basically three olive branch offers to settle this amicably, but she freaking hires a hitman to try to kill you. And
I don't know if he's a hitman, but I don't know.
Well, anyone that's hired to, you know, hurt another person would be considered a hitman in my book. Just like parental alienation is kidnapping. And if they say that But it's not in, but not everything is parental alienation, no. Right? And so people misconstrue parental alienation and estrangement, and also legitimate worries in keeping children from an abusive parent in order to protect that child is actually necessary. And unfortunately, it's also abused.
Yes.
But because anyone can make an accusation.
Yeah.
And but in your case, I think it's pretty clear that you can prove out everything, even if you said it earlier on and didn't have quite necessarily the evidence to show that, you know, your ex is unreasonable, unbalanced, if you will. And maybe it was postpartum and some chemical imbalance or change after she gave birth. But nevertheless, she became a more and more unstable person, as I'm, you know, just sort of in my mind going back to all the things that you've talked about. And, you know, so that's pretty amazing. And, you know, so after this man enters your life, I called the hitman, and I'll refer to him as that way, the Canadian or the U.S. Special Force, ex-Special Forces, Canadian, Ukrainian, whatever he is. All right. So where is that today? I mean, are you being actively pursued or stalked, or?
I don't know. I mean, firstly, the thing with this guy, I mean, he's got about four different variations of his name that he uses. I won't give them online, but if you Google him, again, this was on my website that they took down. They wanted to take it down for obvious reasons. But he uses about four different versions of his name. Perhaps one of them, I mean, you can only speculate that one might be to hide people from finding his Canadian judgment. He was not hired. I was never told that he was hired to hurt me or kill me. He may have been, I don't know. But he was hired, he puts himself, I mean, as I say, he runs an ice cream shop. He does TV interviews with international cases. He thinks he's, or, you know, I don't know. He strikes me as, well, I don't, I'll leave that aside. But he has got a mediation site where he tried, I could find no mediation credentials. He's not a member of the UK association that handles mediators, but he's got a website, and he's got, which is, you know, run through I think a Gmail account and a mobile phone, so make of that what you will. And I think that's what she said, that's the only person I will let mediate. So that's what he said he was, a mediator, and then the rest of his background came to light.
Yeah, it sounds like a mobster. They like to mediate by turning you upside down and making electrodes with you until you agree with them. sometimes I think that's what mediation feels like. So, you know, so in the last 18 months, you've tried negotiating several times to go back. Reunite your child under, I would imagine, with pretty strict guardrails when your child's with your ex to ensure safety. Yeah. But instead, you had three failed mediations, and then somehow you got, in absentia found in civil contempt for not bringing the child back, or was there an order from the court to bring the child back?
Yes. I mean, it's fairly strategic. What they did was, who has, you know, around about 15 hearings in 18 months. I mean, why would you? When she took my daughter 3 hours away, you know, I had to wait 6 months between hearings once, you know, but suddenly the High Court in England springs into action and it's here. We had two hearings a week in one week one time. Now, yes, so almost every hearing that we had, she would say, you know, they would apply for a return order. So the return orders were just stacking up. You know, it's. I kept saying, I can't come back. I'm too afraid of her. I said, I'm frightened of the court, but I'm more afraid of her. And I said, I'm frightened about my house. You know, I can't pay the mortgage because you've stopped my bank account. I can't get legal advice. I'm frightened of all that. I'm respectful and frightened of the court. I'm not in contempt. I'm in fear and trauma. And I said, you know, we've got a solution here. But I, you know, these return orders aren't helpful because I physically, you know, I'm too frightened to get on a plane. And they just didn't understand. As I say, they don't understand. When I showed them the pictures of this Irishman with all the guns around it, they don't care and they don't understand. I said to the judge at one point, I said, I think that the other parent wants me homeless, jailed, or dead. And the judge said, oh, I don't think that's true. Well, at this point, she's got two of them. You know, she got me the prison sentence and my home's been taken, and she's got potentially a violent man involved in the case. I am frightened. So I don't know. I forgot what your question was now, but,
Well, I guess the, you know, so what caused,
oh, it's about the return orders. Sorry, it's about return orders. Yeah. So yeah, they basically, most of the hearings, they say, yeah, return order. And then they get to the stage where they're like, oh, he's got about 8 return orders here over 6 months or whatever. Yes, don't bother signing the mediated deal was there. She could have signed it, but they basically said, well, we want to go for a jail sentence now. And that's what I was found, civil contempt for not coming back. And that's the reason. So that was in February 24. And then in December 24, they took my house for the same reason, because between February and December, they'd obviously made some more hearings, come back. And I'd even written to the court saying, I can have an emergency hearing. I'm in fear for my safety. As I say, they ignored all that. So they knew I was frightened. They just never took it seriously. And they just said, oh, yes, you've got a lot of return orders here. Another committal. And that seems to be what the other parent is interested in. Of course, if I'm jailed and homeless, go back to the trial in summer of 21, where the judge said she wants to alienate your child, what better way than to have the other parent homeless and in jail? Because I'm in jail, I can't see my kid. If I come out of jail, I'm homeless. So then it will be, oh, well, he hasn't got a home for the child. He's a criminal. I mean, to be fair, I'm not a criminal because it's civil contempt. It's not, you're not going to have a criminal record. But that hasn't stopped them kind of saying those sort of things. And that I feel would almost certain, I think that's the goal, is to get me back and go to jail, then say, well, he hasn't got a house, he can't provide for, you know, he's a bad parent, he's a risk. And then, you know, years would go by. That's, I think that is the game plan.
You know, what you're going through, I think, I do see so often, and it really boils down to lawfare.
Yeah.
And if lawfare isn't winning or allowing that the bad actor to move forward, then they will shift gears and they will use whatever persuasive skills they have. Maybe it's a false report written on you, and they will then go and talk to social services, or, you know, they'll talk to a sheriff's deputy in this, and they will essentially use a bad report that's inaccurate to sway or convince someone else that the targeted parent is the bad parent. And it's just sort of like a snowball effect after that. And no one remembers that, oh, wait a minute, the targeted parent was found by court-appointed professionals to be an alienated parent, and they have the background to prove it.
Yeah.
But that gets lost, even when women are violent.
Yeah.
Many times when it's part of a deposition and it's admitted, the courts just overlook that. So, you know, the mere fact that you tried for three times for mediation, then you find yourself facing a jail sentence. I think you said it was a category B.
Yeah.
Prison for civil contempt. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah.
For civil contempt.
Yeah.
And so.
Bearing in mind that this is at the same time the this was in February 24, July 24, we get a new government in the UK and they start letting out violent criminals to free up spaces. And I read today that one of the people they let out committed a murder the day he was let out early. So the government had blood on its hands. But no, I need to go to jail in a high security prison for a year civil contempt.
For not returning from a vacation with your child. Is that basically the gist of it?
Yeah.
I can quite imagine there's some people out there that might judge you harshly as a parent that left the country just to get back at an ex who you saw mentally head downhill soon after the birth of your child, and then through her own bad behavior, withholding you. And other things that she did and threatened you with or follow through on, you felt like you couldn't return this. You're protecting your child. And then she goes to court with a new judge. And I think you said maybe it was ex parte. Is that?
No, the committals are, I was there for in Zoom, it's a Zoom hearing.
Okay.
But the committals are always with a new judge who's not the usual. We have, over the last 18 months, most of the time had a consistent judge. But for some reason in England, I think the committals have to be handed to a new judge. So he comes to the case fresh and he reads the evidence. And he wrote quite a, critical – when he gave me the jail sentence, he gave me quite a critical judgment, which was published in, is public. A lot of the high court judgments, will have names hidden still to protect the child. But for some reason, in my case, the names are not hidden, which I think is bad for the child. And they've published the judgment with my name disclosed. And that is the only judgment that is in the public. The judgments, as you said earlier, the judgments, the two judgments I have that show the five or the years of abuse, they're not disclosed, you see. And to say that they're important background is an understatement. I'm not allowed to publish them. One of them, at the top of the court judgment on one of them, it says that you can publish it if it's anonymized, but they've since got a gagging order, and I'm not sure if that overrides this. I don't know. But and again, I'm cut off from legal advice, so I can't be sure. I think we've had four judgments in the case so far. Three, because one they didn't issue a judgment for, but only one of them is public. When we got to the committal in December 24 to take the house, the judge couldn't even be bothered to write a judgment. This, bear in mind, neither barrister, my family stumped up for a barrister at this stage because they were taking the family house. Neither barrister, senior barristers, could find an example of this happening in the UK before, that for civil contempt they took a house. So you would think that the judge would write a judgment for this because it may be used as case law, but he didn't. He said, I'll ask for a transcript to be published. Well, 10 weeks later, he hadn't done that. It was ordered about 10 weeks later. Bear in mind, you've got 21 days to appeal I didn't even know that he had 21. I thought it was 3 months, but I was told, you know, early this year, no, it's 21 days. But they didn't order the transcript for 10 weeks, and it still has not arrived to this day. So the hearing was the 2nd of December. We're nearly 4 months on, no transcript, no judgment.
Yeah, that's amazing. Is this the same judge that took your passports for you and your child, or canceled them?
Well, I don't know, because I don't think so. I don't think there was a court order to take my child's passport. I think the mother just did it herself. I've brought this up in court before, and the judge didn't say, oh, no, that was court ordered. I think the mother just did that in May on her own. And then I think, she got a court order in September to cancel mine, September 24. But that was an ex parte hearing, and I found out about it in November, and I've been asking for a copy of that so that I can appeal it. But her solicitor is refusing to give it to me, and the judge's clerk is initially said, yes, you can have it, I'll sort that out. And several months have gone by and he's not given it to me, and I've sent some emails saying, please, can I have this? I'm worried for my safety. I'd like to appeal, and he's not delivering it. And I've asked to escalate it this week, and I don't know what's going to happen. But in December, when we did have a barrister, he said to me, there's been a raft of ex parte orders, and I feel you should see these. So I then asked the mother, because I didn't know about them, and I asked the mother's solicitor, I said, can I have these? And he said, no. So there's a raft, in the barrister's words, there's a raft of ex parte orders out there. And aside from knowing my passport was cancelled, I don't know why or what the conditions are. I don't know what any of the other ex parte orders are. And my barrister said, this is justice behind closed doors. He said, you should ask the judge. And I've asked the judge's clerk now for months and not had them. I've got no idea what they say. I can't appeal the passport because I don't have the order. Without going into specifics, we could be in danger from vigilantes, obviously, as I've spoken about. We could be in danger due to regional tensions. I won't be more specific than that. But if you're in danger for whatever reason, even if it was a natural disaster, you need a passport. Whether you get on a boat or a plane or a land crossing, you need it. And to put a parent and child in a country abroad without a passport, so they can't get to safety if they needed to, I think is reckless. Now they say, well, you can go to the embassy and get a travel document to take you back to England. Well, how long does that take if it's an emergency? I don't think you can just walk up there and say, I need one. You know, you don't know what the circumstances may be. If a vigilante was to attack us, you need a passport. And bear in mind that the court has taken my child's inheritance, her house. They've left us without, in October 23, they cancelled the bank accounts without telling me. It took me a week to find out when I tried to use my bank card. My child could have been in a car accident and we could have gone to a hospital needing emergency treatment and not been able to access it because my card didn't work, because they didn't tell me, they cancelled it. Now, to me, they could have left us without accommodation. To me, that is, of the mother and the High Court, that is extremely reckless. And I've brought this up, but they don't care. They just don't care. I think one of the things about our cases is few people actually get as far through the system as we have got. And one of the things, and they don't want this coming to light, the way things actually work. You know, this is why they get gag orders. And I think one of the valuable things that we can do is report back, because hopefully not many people are going to pass this way again, and not many people have, we can report back about just the systematic flaws, because I don't think a lot of people in the system know how bad it is. And the fact that they would leave a parent and child without passports and bank accounts, and for all they know, without medical care or accommodation, I just don't think you can excuse that for a high court to do that.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, they took your passports, you know, they've debanked you for 16 months, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And they trapped you and your child in this mess. You can't resolve it really in an easy manner, or I wouldn't even say easy manner, even if it was difficult. They've made it more difficult for you. They've put you in a position where you have no idea what might be waiting for you if you were to go back.
Yeah.
And you've got potentially someone who has an intent to possibly harm you physically, and at least a threat of that. So, you know, I really appreciate you sharing that. It's you know, it's really unbelievable of what you're up against. It's, if I hadn't been, you know, already understanding that this was a part of your case, I would be shaking right now like I was the first time when I was just learning about what was going on with your case. And it, you know, and it's your case is an interesting case because, I mean, people who don't want to understand what led up to this point of where you're at could very easily misconstrue your case based on falsehoods and say, well, no, he's just holding back his child. It's his fault, period, end of story. Whereas, you know, women do this all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're always applauded. And yet a dad that does this.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a child in 6 years. I haven't seen a child, two children in over 3.5 years. I have not lost any rights to my children. I'm supposed to give them a call. I can call them. The courts will not uphold my parental rights, or hasn't up until this date. So it, you know, to have them, to know that the court won't prosecute one party, but will actively go after the other, is definitely not equal protection. And I know that UK laws are different, but you know, we're a country based on the somewhat UK law, so people who don't understand this can happen or are naive. And I think that's why sometimes it's so difficult to raise awareness. But, you know, so, you know, moving forward, you know, I think you are calling out, you know, the UK family courts as, and in particular, your case, it's a hidden scandal. Yeah. You know, I felt that in the U.S., you know, too, you know, there's a couple moments in your case that mirror my own where the system just failed us as dads.
Yes.
And, you know, and again, I want to be careful here because there's always the exception to the rule. But I think there's been enough of us fathers who find ourselves, you know, in the situation in midlife, lived our life hard, was a good dad, good, you know, a good spouse, maybe not perfect. I don't think anybody is.
Yeah.
And then we find ourselves through a life event or something else in the situation. And too many dads just self-destruct because, you know, they were raised believing that, the justice was a protected human right. And, you know, and of course, when we find out what really happens in court is mind blowing. But, you know, I feel like, you know, the delays in my case, you know, for 7 years have worn me down.
Yes.
You've been at this for a while. I mean, and you know, I'm prevented from leaving the state I live in while my cases are active. So I feel in a sense a captive in my own state. And believe me, I just, like I mentioned earlier, I just got out of a 4-day appeal. Written submissions are due in April. I have a court hearing on the 1st. And then I've got a pretrial hearing on the 7th. And I find that when you are a father who is fighting for your rights, or, at least trying to protect your children, and if the other side, if you will, sees you as even, however they view you, they will make you enemy number one. Yeah. And in fact, that's been my case. But the delays in my case have worn me down.
Yes.
And now with everything else I'm going through in the courts, it's even worse. So how do you keep pushing when it feels like the legal system's built to crush you? How does that affect you?
Well, it's taken a hell of a toll. Nearly seven years of this. My everything I worked for is gone in the UK. And again, it's counterproductive. Every sanction has just increased my fear. And if there had been no sanctions, we mediated an agreement. And, I just don't understand. Well, other than the fact that it's rooted in this aggression that is causing my fear, the aggression of the other party. And so it's very frightening, everything I work for is gone, the house and everything. We've said to the mother, this is your child's inheritance. This house could, in England, not many children get to buy houses now because it's so expensive. And this could set her up for life. By the time I'm an older dad, by the time I've paid off that house, I don't think I'm going to be knocking around very much longer after that. It could just give her everything she needs for financial security in life. And for a parent, for a mother to do that to her child, it increases my fears so much, because it's like I'm going after you, the other parent, and I don't care if my child gets harmed. I don't care if my child's impoverished for decades, for all of her life. I don't care. As long as I get you, and as long as you're destroyed, then that's and it's terrifying. And the fact that we've got medical evidence to back this up and judgments of the behavior that the court doesn't want to do anything to protect, it's beyond belief, but it's very, very frightening. And 7 years of that, has worn me down physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. And I'm sure and many others know it, it gets us the same way, the trauma, 7 years of trauma, and I know fighting false allegations is very, very hard, but I have, and I overcame them and got them proved false. But I'm sure that it leaves a scar. But if even for everything, I've said this many times in court, I don't care. I've got no grudge. I'm not an aggressive, nasty person. I just want peace and safety. And if she messaged me tomorrow and said, look, let's just draw a line. Let's just pair it. I'm not going to come after you anymore. And let's just draw a line and carry on. I'd probably say okay, but I am so worried at this stage that, if we could get a watertight court order, I probably would say okay. Okay, that's part two. We've got one more part three next time. Please join us again for that.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please join us next time.